Hello? Oh, hey, there it is. Cool. So, I planned my entire ride. I knew exactly where I was going. But there's this one section between San Clemente and Oceanside. It's about 7 miles, where the only road that'll get you from San Clemente to Oceanside is the freeway. Because Camp Pendleton is on either side, and you're not allowed to go onto Camp Pendleton space proper. Like, a friend of mine went and rode kind of into Camp Pendleton and heard this loud noise over a loudspeaker that said, you need to turn around immediately or we'll open fire or something like that. And he got really stressed. So I figured, open fire, it's probably just about as deadly as the freeway, so why don't we do the freeway? So we got our, but there's actually a sign that says you're allowed to take your bikes on the freeway in that little section. So we got on the freeway, and I've driven on the freeway in my car thousands of times, as all of you have. But I will tell you, as many times as I've driven on the freeway, as familiar with freeways as I am, as soon as I got onto it on my bike, the freeway was different. It was very, very different. The noise of the freeway, the intense hum, the wind you felt when giant trucks would go by. Little Ashley Fernandez would like, I felt like she was going to blow away when big trucks would go by. It was just really different. Tonight we're going to look at a passage that most of us have read 1,000 times. This is the freeway of the Bible right here. We're looking at the story of the loaves and the fishes. Most of us have heard this story hundreds of times before. Even people who have not grown up in the church have heard this story before. But I'm going to ask you to get on a bicycle with me and to try and look at this story from a new perspective tonight. Let's pray as we jump in again. God, we love you. We're so grateful for you. And we want to know you more deeply. So tonight, as we talk about our own brokenness and how you see us and how you fulfill us, I ask that we would walk out of here inspired to draw close to you over these next 46 days of Lent. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So tonight, we're going to look at the story of the loaves and the fishes. And this story is going to highlight what I'd like to call unfolding brokenness. Unfolding brokenness. So let me tell you what I mean by that. We're going to see 4 stages of brokenness in this story tonight. I'm going to tell you what they are right now. The first one, we're going to see a broken world. We're going to see a broken heart. We're going to see a broken body. We're going to see a broken hunger. So broken world, heart, body, and hunger. So first up, we see a broken world. Now, I don't have to tell you that we live in a broken world. Most of us are pretty aware of that, right? We live in a world where tribalism is kind of everything right now. There's this insistence on being right above all else, where instead of seeking forgiveness and instead of seeking grace and instead of seeking gentleness, people try to tear others down so that they can get ahead in the world. We live in a world where people who are in power take advantage of those who are not. And just to show how broken this world is, as soon as I said that sentence, Republicans, you were thinking, yeah, the Democrats. And Democrats, you were thinking, yeah, the Republicans, right? The people who are in power are taking advantage of those who are not. And the people who are not in power are stuck in their sin. They're stuck in their pain. They're stuck in their brokenness. And as we open up this passage, Jesus is in the very center of the exact same world that we live in today. We start this passage with, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew to a solitary place to be on his own. So, what happened? What happened that made Jesus need to withdraw to have alone time? Well, in the verses right before this, we remember that Herod had taken John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, and thrown him in prison because Herod was sleeping with his brother's wife. He actually ended up divorcing his own wife, and his brother's wife and him got divorced, and then they got together. And then Herod threw a big birthday party, and Herod's new wife's daughter, Herodias, did a sensual dance for Herod. And Herod was so drunk and so pleased by said dance that Herod told Herodias, you can have anything you want. One wish. Your wish is my command. What would you like? And Herodias said, I would like the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter. And Herod said, okay, your wish is my command. So John was murdered, John's disciples then go and tell Jesus what had happened. And when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place to process the murder of his cousin. Now, we don't know exactly why he's gone to be alone, like specifically why he needed to be by himself. I think maybe it could have been that Jesus wants to get away to try and process how Herod is actually one of the people that he's going to be dying for in just a short amount of time. I think that maybe Jesus in this moment is feeling the weight of sin in the world. He's feeling overwhelmed by how much sin that he's going to have to take on when he dies. Maybe he just needs to process the death of his cousin. Either way, Jesus pulls up to the beach, and as he gets to the beach, people had heard that he was retreating to a place to be by himself, and they gathered at the beach and waited for him. So when Jesus steps off the boat, there's an enormous crowd of sick and hurting people waiting for him to help them. They're physically broken. Their lives are in tatters. And when Jesus steps off the boat, he is in the very center of brokenness. A broken world is all around. So, what is the response of Jesus? Jesus sees this broken world, and that produces in him a broken heart. Jesus sees a broken world, and it produces a broken heart. And we see that right at the beginning of the passage. It says, when Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. He had compassion on them. Now, Jesus, in this moment of personal emotional vulnerability, when he probably needs to receive far more than he needs to give, Jesus, I think, would have been perfectly justified to have been frustrated with humanity, to have had disdain with this broken, gross people that are not just the sick people around him, but what had just happened with his cousin and Herod. He could be absolutely disgusted with the state of humanity, and yet Jesus' heart breaks for the people who he comes across. I wonder how many of us react like that when we experience pain or sin or brokenness. Jesus thinks not for a moment about himself. He thinks only of others. Something really crucial to recognize about Jesus is whenever he mentions compassion, or whenever it says that he feels compassion, it is always, always, always accompanied by action. Jesus' compassion is not pity. Pity is looking at someone from a place of privilege and saying, "Ah, you poor thing." Jesus never has pity. Jesus is filled with compassion. In fact, the literal translation here is that Jesus is moved with compassion, meaning he is pushed forward into action. Jesus arrives on the beach to see this group of wounded sheep without a shepherd, and he is moved. His heart breaks for them. The brokenness of the world brings about the brokenness of Jesus' heart. Brokenness unfolding into brokenness. We have this broken world evidenced by Herod's evil and the sick people all around, and Jesus' heart breaks. He is moved. It's pretty incredible to read the narrative of this story and see how it matches that of the overall arc of Jesus' life. So if you think about it for just a second, we have Jesus who's in heaven, right? Before he comes to earth, he's in heaven and he looks down and he sees the brokenness of the world. He sees the world that he helped to create in tatters. And his heart breaks so much that he is moved not just from a boat onto land, but moved from heaven to earth to do something about it. But from Jesus' broken heart, we see more brokenness unfold. We see a broken body. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is in verse 15, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late, so send the crowds away so that they can go back to the villages and buy themselves some food." Then Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." I love that line so much. "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," said Jesus. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he gave thanks, and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. So Jesus has been healing people for hours now, kneeling down with the sick, touching their wounds, giving sight to the blind, helping the lame to walk, When it starts to get late in the day and the disciples realize they're kind of tired from watching Jesus do all these miracles. They're feeling a little sleepy. It reminds me, actually, there's this great moment on the bike ride where our driver the first day, Jane, she was driving, helping us get food. We pulled off. We had ridden about 50 miles, and Jane told us about how her legs had hurt from sitting in the car after we had been riding our bikes all morning. Yeah, the disciples are like, Jesus, we're tired from all the miracles you've been doing, right? And then they have the nerve to tell Jesus what to do. They say, Jesus, tell everybody to go away and get their own food. And Jesus looks at them and says, they don't need to go away. You figure it out. So they look around at each other. They roll their eyes. They're like, oh my gosh, Jesus is the worst. I mean, he's the best, but he's the worst. And then they look around, try and find whatever food they have. They come up with 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. And they say, Jesus, this is all we have. We don't have enough. And Jesus' response, bring them here to me. Bring them here to me. A commentary that I read before this, I'm going to read you a quote. It says that this line is actually the central theme, or one of the central themes of the passage. The commentary says, the main truth of this passage is that of the alliance between man's lacking and God's abundance. 5 loaves and 2 fishes are our human helplessness. The problems that plagued mankind have always been beyond human power. Human troubles are far too great for human strength. Our lives are so full of what we see unfolding in this very passage. Our lives are packed full of lacking. My life and your life. Packed full of needs which we are simply unable to meet and attain for ourselves. That looks different for every single one of us. Maybe you long to be a good and wholesome person, and as much as you try, you feel like you just cannot live up to your own standards. Maybe you long to be loved by those around you, to feel crucial to your friends, to feel crucial to your family, to be an integral part of your relationships. Maybe you have this desire deep in you to seek the approval of others above all else. And so you chase after moments where you feel like people will approve of you. Maybe you spend all of your time trying to prove that you are unique, that you are different than everybody else, because that's how you feel value. Maybe your desire is to gain stability in life by gaining knowledge or finding relational support around you. Or you long to have fun or to be strong or to have a peaceful environment. And yet, every single one of us, no matter how much we strive for those things, we're lacking. We're not enough. And it's in that place that Jesus says about your lacking, bring them here to me. Bring them here to me. But what does Jesus do with our lacking? What does he do with it? I mean, it's great to bring your desires and your fears, your lacking to Jesus, but then what? Well, we see it here in this passage. What's Jesus' solution to our lacking? The whole passage has highlighted so far Jesus' heart broke because of the people's lack around him. And his solution, we see in verse 19, it says, he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he gave thanks, and he broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Now, those of you with an eagle eye might notice that that passage is just a little bit familiar to another passage that we read quite often. In fact, one Sunday a month, you'll have heard something like this, Matthew 26:26. Let me read it to you. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples. Back to our passage. He directed the people to sit down. He took the loaves. He broke them. He gave thanks. He gave them to the disciples. Matthew 26:26. Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. We must see here that there's so much more going on than Jesus performing a little magic trick on a beach for a big crowd of people. That is not what this passage is about. When we read this passage about one of Jesus' miracles, we're meant to think not on this miracle in isolation, but on the great miracle that is to come. Jesus looks at the lack of the broken world around him, and his heart is broken. And in response, he does nothing less than make a magnificent promise. In this moment where Jesus is again here tapping into the greater narrative of who he is and what his story is all about, he sees broken people falling short in the center of lacking, and his solution is to break bread. We read every single communion. Jesus broke the bread at the Last Supper, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." The only possible fulfillment of the depth of Jesus' compassion for us is his certain coming death. His broken heart must always mean his broken body. Always. Every time. But that's not even the best part of this passage. Jesus' broken body means something incredible. Jesus' broken body unfolds into a broken hunger. Verse 20. They all ate and were satisfied. So we have Jesus who sees this broken world full of pain and injustice, and his heart breaks with compassion. And in his compassion, he says, "Bring me your lack. Bring me your not enough." And Jesus blesses and then breaks the bread that is his body, broken for you and me. And then all the broken who are near are given the bread, and when they eat, they are satisfied. When I picked this passage to speak on this evening, I had thought of it as the story where Jesus multiplies the bread and the fish. You guys might have thought of it that way too. I went back and I read in all of the Gospels. This is actually the only miracle that comes up in all four Gospels. I went back and I read it. The word multiply is never in the passage, which is kind of interesting. When I see like a big miracle of Jesus's like this, my first question is always, how, right? It's kind of the same when I see a magic trick. I'm like, okay, how did they do it, right? So how did Jesus feed all of these people? And I think we've naturally just thought, oh, well, he just like multiplied it. He just made a bunch of fish and bread popped up. Or I always thought of this line where like people walked it and like grabbed from the basket, but then the basket never became empty, right? But that's not the point of this passage. The how is not the point of this passage. The focus of this story is this, that in our lacking and in our hunger, our Jesus breaks his body for us. And as a result, we can be satisfied. The message of this passage is that in every aspect of your life where you do not measure up, in every aspect of your life where you're not good enough, where you're not successful enough, where you're not well-liked enough, where you're not special enough, you're not fun enough, friendly enough, smart enough, strong enough, you aren't enough. Jesus offers you his plenty to make up for your lack and completes your every shortcoming, every weakness, every pain, shame, and sin that you have. We must see that the people who ate and were satisfied were not satisfied because Jesus made enough bread for everybody. That's not what happened. It's not that he made a lot of bread and people were really satisfied. It's not that the bread tasted really good and so people were satisfied. People were satisfied because it was Jesus Christ who made the bread. That's why. Because it was his bread. They were satisfied because Jesus himself broke and blessed it. Their hunger broken by a broken body. Thousands of years ago, this day, Jesus was performing a miracle, but so much more. Jesus was telling a magnificent story. He was telling us his story. That God saw a broken world, and his heart broke in response, but he didn't just take pity. From his broken heart, he was moved with compassion to us, to become one of us. And then broke his body for one purpose, which was to break the hunger of the people whom he loved. Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent, as many of you know. Ash Wednesday is 46 days from Easter, so that's 40 Lenten days plus 6 Sundays. The reason Lent is 40 days, I grew up Baptist, I didn't even know what Ash Wednesday was, so forgive me if you've heard this a million times before, but the reason that Lent is 40 days is because it's modeled after and inspired by the time that Jesus spent wandering in the desert being tempted by Satan. He was fasting while he was in the desert. And when Jesus was in the desert and Satan came to tempt him, everything Satan offered Jesus was a temporal fulfillment to a lacking that Jesus had in that moment. So Jesus was hungry and Satan came and tempted him toward eating. And Jesus responded by quoting the word of God. Jesus was weak because of not eating, and Satan came and offered him power. And Jesus responded by quoting the word of God. Every single time Satan tempted him, he stayed strong. He stayed the course. Jesus responded with the word of God. We read in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That's what we read, John chapter 1. John makes very clear in his gospel that the Word that he's referring to is no one other than Jesus Christ himself. John makes it very clear that Jesus is the human embodiment of the Word of God, there at the beginning of creation and here now with us. Jesus is the Word of God, and as we embark on this Lenten journey, opening ourselves up to temptation, there's one thing that fills us, one thing that will get us through, one thing that if we have it, no temporary lacking will ever have strength over us. And that is that we embrace, engage, meditate on, and consume the broken body of Jesus Christ. It is this that breaks our hunger. The bread of life, broken, that we may want no more. Would you pray with me? Jesus, you are the bread of life who fills our every need. In every space of our lives that we are lacking, it is not more of us we need, it's more of you. So we ask as we begin this Lenten time that our focus would be on being filled by you. That we wouldn't be distracted by the things that we normally take part in, but instead we would choose to eat of the bread of life, to embrace all that you offer us, to fill ourselves with you. We are broken, but so were you, so that we could be made right with you. We love you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name.